Anderson, El Pacifico, Bill Hendrick.
You're getting in trouble. I'm going to get in trouble for what?
Well, I think the things you said before, and we're on the air.
Yeah, okay, we're on the air right now. Phil Hendry Show, our number, 877-876-7445, and we're online at philhendryshow.com. The things I said, what?
Do you want to talk about this here?
Yes.
Well, the things that you said, Phil, before you went on the air were very pointed, and somebody could be rolling tape on that.
Yeah, that's the thing I worry about, man. Somebody tape recording it.
Yeah, somebody tape records it, and what?
What if they played it back for people?
Well, what am I going to do about it? They play it back for people, they play it back for people, you know. If we find out that they're posting it illegally, you know, all that other good copyright-protected bullcrap aside, I think what we're getting at here is you're saying there was something wrong with what I said?
Well, they are, once again, Phil, what you're doing is you're going after the bosses.
You know, let me say something here. I've never worked in an industry that has got such sissies. I mean, this is a sissy business. You know, everybody's supposed to keep their mouths shut. Everybody's supposed to just be a good little boy and girl and not say anything. You know, I mean, I was talking before the show started on our feed, on our Phil TV and HD BSP Backstage Pass feed.
Yeah, go to philhendryshow.com and get Backstage Pass.
Thank you, bud. I was talking, and this is a very real thing. I was saying the following thing. I said, you know, every time some kind of new media begins to make an impact or begins to draw an audience, there has always been some kind of a sit-down discussion between labor and management on how they want to divvy up the money and how it's going to work. Or there's been a strike. Like, for instance, in 1980, when the cable TV thing started, there was a writer's strike, there was an actor's strike. Then came along another writer's strike late in the decade having to do with some other aspect of cable residuals. And then comes, of course, now digital, internet, so on and so forth. And there was a writer's strike and an actor's strike. This happens because there are people saying, aha, you know, what's going on? The only place where none of this stuff happens is radio. That's because they've driven the unions completely out of radio, and so people that work for a living on the air they're at the mercy of the bloodsuckers that run this business. Now you're telling me I'm not supposed to say anything about it. You're telling me I'm supposed to just keep my mouth shut. You know, I mean, why is this not a good topic?
Well, I think people want to talk more about, you know,
yeah, like Obama and Romney and stuff.
Well, maybe they do and maybe they don't. I don't give a damn. I'm talking about what I want to talk about. I'm talking about what I'm talking about. You know, look at how many people, iHeart Radio, you know what that is, right?
Yep.
Okay. Everybody's got the iHeart app or they're getting it or they've heard about it. And the fact is that that's a classic example of what I'm talking about. So let's take a radio show. And through the iHeart app, you can go get that radio show, and then it's spread all over God's good green earth, and you don't get paid any extra for it. And I'm like the bad guy for bringing it up. I talk to these guys in the radio press, and they call me some kind of a loose cannon. What is that about? That's insane, man. If you're in an industry, it could be any industry, construction, medicine, I don't care what. And you work in that industry for 40 years, 30 years, 20 years, and you don't have an opinion about what's happening in your industry, and you don't want to express it. There's something wrong with you.
Well, I don't, Phil. I don't think anyone's saying you can't have an opinion.
Well, what? How often do I talk about this on the air? I'm not talking about. I was talking about it off the air. You're the guys that brought it up.
Yeah, because we're afraid there's gonna be. You know.
Well, I'll do it, bud. We're afraid that there's.
Let me try. We're afraid that...
Here, I'll do it. You guys are afraid that there's going to be some backlash? What are they going to do to me that they haven't already done to me? What are they going to do to Phil Hendry that they haven't already done to me, you know? Tonight, I was over at our rehearsal studio, and we were working on our one-man show. And I remember saying to the people that are there, because we've got a couple of really great producers working with us, and Alex and Chris were there, and I was there, and we had... You know, we were working through a lot of material, and I said to them, I said, you know, this is really fun. I mean, this is going to be a lot of fun sort of bringing my sense of humor and bringing my thing to a stage. And I said, I wonder why it is, as goofy as this show is, and it's weird, no question.
Well, speak for yourself.
What does that mean?
Well, when you say you have a weird show, are you talking about me?
Well, there's also Bud and Robert here.
Well, I don't care about that. Are you talking about me?
No, I'm not, Margaret. I'm not talking about you being weird. It's just, this show's weird. What I am saying is, you know, I said as we were doing what we were doing, I said, I wonder how it is that that in the world of radio, all there is sort of this political talk, and the kind of theatrical stuff I do has never really... And the answer came almost in unison, almost as if everybody knew what everybody was thinking. They just said, radio, you know, terrestrial radio has died, man. Died.
That's what I'm talking about there, right there. You're on terrestrial radio, and now you're saying it's dead.
Well, it's not dead here. We're doing, you know, we're loving life, you know.
Yeah, but you say it's dead, and nobody wants to be around dead, man.
Yeah. You think about who wants to smell it, and I don't mean to smell it or anything.
No, that's a very good point, though. If you're talking about living among the dead, if you're talking about, Phil, working among or working inside of something that has rotted and died, who wants to be around something that smells like that? You see?
Well, all right. I mean, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, nobody's going to want to be around something that rotted it out.
Yeah, I know. Nobody wants to be around something that rotted it out. So how is it that you coexist with that mind of yours, bud?
Yeah. See what I'm saying? You're sitting there amusing yourself, and a lot of people amuse themselves. Children amuse themselves. Young adolescent boys amuse themselves when they get a hold of certain magazines. See?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Is that what I'm doing here? I'm amusing myself that way? I'm just telling you that I had an opinion and I expressed it, and now we're into our radio show. We don't have to go on any further, you know.
Well, I think, though, Phil, that it is something that we'll come back to. What I'm trying to do is collect my thoughts here. I want to express this clearly.
Okay.
I think, Phil, that it will come back to haunt you if you do not carefully... Okay?
Yeah.
Think of those things that you say, hey, all right?
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
And then you will say...
What am I, in the middle of some remedial reading class? What are you doing?
She's trying to tell you, man. She's trying to collect a thought.
I'm trying to spit this out the best way I know how.
Well, let me help you. Are you saying, Phil, think before you leap, or look before you leap, think before you say some of these things? Because nobody in this business, in the radio industry, cares at all about creative effort. All they care about is sucking blood from people. Is that it?
Oh, that was so diplomatic. Right, but guys, don't...
Yay! Good going, Mr. Andrew. That was great.
Yeah, man, they're going to love you now. All right, well, I mean, how else do you want me to express this stuff? I know, let's poll the audience. Would you like me to be honest, folks, or would you like me to lie? Would you like me to come on here every night and say things that I don't really believe and that I don't care about? Would you like that? Or would you like me to come out with stuff that's on my mind and it may be something that you're not thinking about or maybe you're not even aware of, but hey, who knows? Maybe Phil is bringing something to your attention, something that's interesting. Maybe it's something that he's brought to your attention that you feel strongly about and you think Phil's full of crap and you want to hear how full of crap he is. You know, we could do that.
Well, I think people want to know what your opinions are, Phil, but I don't think you want to... Now, hold on. I don't think you want to say things that are so pointed that it is going to lead to what we would call a rupture. Okay? And...
Margaret, you know, every time you make a point...
Yeah, just a rupture!
What did you say? Are you talking to me or Mr. Henry's talking to me? I don't talk to you. You understand?
Yeah, but you're all going rapture.
Yeah, see, you're talking kind of tarted up and everything.
Don't tell me I talk tarted up. Mr. Henry already told you can't talk that way.
I don't want you guys talking that way. Margaret, please just say things and don't sit there going, and the Bud's right, you know, rapture.
Oh, God, forget it. I had dinner, I'm sorry, but I had Szechuan chicken and I need to go to the toilet.
Go ahead to the toilet, man. You don't have to announce it every time you got to go to the toilet. God.
I had Szechuan chicken.
Okay, so you had Szechuan chicken. What does that do? Move through your bowels faster than other food?
How dare you tell everyone what I'm doing?
You just told everyone what you're doing. You know what we ought to do is we'll just have an alarm here, okay? And Margaret, this is what we're going to do every night, all right? Just be, what are you doing?
Oh, well, I thought I'd see what you're doing.
Okay, let me show you what we're going to do. This is what we're going to do every night, just about this time of night. If you need to go to the bathroom, we will. It's Margaret's bowel movement alarm.
Ow! That's what I think of that.
Ow, God, she was angry, wasn't she? All right, folks, Margaret's in the bathroom. She had Szechuan chicken tonight, and ow! God, man, you're really...
Don't do that.
We'll be right back. World-famous Phil Hendry Show. Next thing you know, I'll have to talk to Frank. 877-876-7445. Uh-oh. Lights on in the ladies' room. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Who is that, man? World famous Phil Hendry Show, and Margaret has returned from the bathroom.
I asked you not to do that.
I'm sorry, Margaret. We're having some fun.
But do you understand it's very tasteless?
It's tasteless for you to say I got to go to the toilet.
Why is that tasteless? I don't understand. I did it in a very adult way. I was getting uncomfortable. Oh, forget it.
Right. Yeah, let's just not bring it up, okay? All right, 877-876-7445, world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and this is something that I just noticed, so forgive me if it is something that all of you have followed, and maybe you don't care, and maybe I do, you know. But here it is. The headline reads that Romney's 47% remarks were completely wrong. This, in the opinion of Governor Romney, Republican presidential candidate, former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney, speaks at a rally in Fisherville, Virginia. Now, who wrote this article? Well, according to the CBS News site, Walt Cronkite wrote this article.
Who's he?
Who's he? Walter Cronkite was a cat that was the man. He was the face of CBS News for decades. He was the senior correspondent, the senior bureau chief. He was CBS News. Walter Cronkite was probably we could safely say Walter Cronkite is the founding father of network TV news anchors. Okay?
Yeah.
He's dead, man.
Oh.
No, wait a minute. Who did you say wrote that?
Walt Cronkite.
Well, I know this is nitpicking, but...
So, obviously, Margaret, I know it's somebody different, but don't you think that that's a little disrespectful?
No, I don't think it's disrespectful if that's the person's name. Now, that's what I'm trying to figure out here.
So, there's a guy working at CBS News as a guy that's writing a blog for the website, the CBS website, their news site, and his name happens to be Walt Cronkite.
Yeah, well, maybe he changed it or something.
That's a very good point. He could have changed his name to Walt Cronkite.
Why?
To be more salable, to be more, I suppose, connected to the tradition, to be more top of mind. I don't know.
And you don't think that's disrespectful?
Not if it's really his name. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
Wait a minute. Wait. If he changed his name...
Then it is his name. She does have a good... She got a gooder point than you, Mr. Henry.
Oh, she's got a gooder point. Oh, okay.
Well, Phil, don't be sarcastic because Bud happens to agree with me.
Well, but certainly, if a guy changed his name... If he changed his name so that he could use the name Walt Cronkite to be some kind of a new generation Walt Cronkite, or to get people to even think of Walter Cronkite and hence identify more readily with CBS News, I say it's a tasteless thing.
But if it's his name...
Wait a minute, man. What are you guys saying?
What are you saying?
Are you saying that this guy came to CBS with the name Walt Cronkite?
Yes.
And okay, so it's his name, yeah.
Yeah, he got his name changed and he applied for a job.
He got his name changed and then he applied for... That's what I'm talking about right there.
What?
What am I talking about? I'm talking about the fact that the guy went out and purposefully changed his name to Walt Cronkite Well, don't, I mean, look at the economy right now, Mr. Henry. Excuse me, Margaret, I just want to make this one point.
Go ahead.
Look at the economy now, and the job market is bad. And a man's got to do what, you know, the thing you need to do. And a man's got to do the things you need to do. So the guy goes out, changes his name to Walt Cronkite, right?
Yeah, my uncle was the same thing when he changed his name to Harley Davidson. And they said, well, okay, as long as you don't do anything with a motorcycle. And he said, I'm not going to. But my uncle liked Harley. I like Harley Davidson, too.
And because your uncle liked Harley Davidson, was it a tribute?
It was a tribute, but also he just liked the name Harley Davidson. They said, well, that's the name of a motorcycle. He goes, yeah, I know, but I also just like the name.
Did your uncle change his name to Harley Davidson because he liked the bike, because he liked the name?
Because he liked the name. He liked the name.
Or did he say he liked the name because Harley Davidson wanted to sue him?
No, well, yeah, they did want to sue him, and that's when he said, no, I just like the name.
You know, something's not right here, because what...
Phil, it's not right because people don't agree with you, so something's not right.
No. Look, I'm willing to hear you guys out, and I'm willing to believe what you're saying, but I'm just asking this question. Okay?
If the guy changed his name to Walt Cronkite, what's that got to do? That's his name.
If he changed his name, man, is what I'm trying to tell you. If he changed his name to Walt Cronkite, what was the reason he changed his name to Walt Cronkite?
You don't know, because maybe he worked at the Fish and Game or something.
Yes, what if he worked at the Parks Department of Fish and Game?
What if he worked at the Parks Department when?
Like after he changed his name to Walt Cronkite.
I still am not buying it. I'm still not buying it.
Well, Phil, you're not buying it because you want to be right. And this is the thing, this is the problem that I have with you. You always want to be right.
No, I don't think I have that problem. I think you want to always be right, to be honest with you. No, look, just hear me out, okay?
No, you're not being fair.
Wait a second, man. Just hold on for just 5 seconds, all right?
One, two...
Wait a minute. Wait, hold on, okay?
Three, four...
5 seconds is up.
Hold on. I think, and if I'm wrong, tell me, a guy changing his name to Walt Cronkite is significant. And here's why. Wait a minute. Here's why.
No, I just don't.
Don't shake your head, bud. Just hear me out. A, that's not a very common name. And, oh, it just so happens that that was a name that a very famous person had once. It would be like if I changed my name to, well, let's say David Brinkley.
No, it would be as if you changed your name to Dave Brinkley.
Yeah, you didn't change his name to Walt Cronkite. Walt Cronkite.
Well, I thank God you're laughing. I didn't think we'd see that at all tonight.
I've got nothing to say to you guys. Let's say I changed my name to Dave Brinkley. I changed my name to Dave Brinkley. Not David Brinkley, Dave Brinkley. But I happen to go to work for the ABC news site, okay?
Well, but he also worked for NBC. See, this is where you don't... This is where it's not the same thing.
Oh, come on, Margaret. Don't nitpick. All right, let's say it was NBC. But everybody knows him from ABC. So I go to work for the website. And my name is Dave Brinkley. I'm on ABC's website. And ABC just happened to have a show called This Week with David Brinkley. And everybody remembers David Brinkley. And everyone saw that show. That was a very popular Sunday morning show. And now they got Dave Brinkley writing articles and blogs for the ABC news site. Now, if you were a person that admired David Brinkley, as I admired Walter Cronkite.
No, I was going to say not Cronkite.
Yeah, thank you. Walter Cronkite, would you not feel as if that's a disrespectful thing?
I don't know, Phil, not if it was your name. You're missing the point here. And I'm saying the guy changed his name to that.
Yeah, but if he's working for Fish and Game.
Yeah, you're missing the point. If he's working for Fish and Game, how can you say that he changed his name because he wanted to emulate Walter Cronkite when, in point of fact, he works for Fish and Game?
Because he quit Fish and Game and now he's working for CBS News.
Yeah, but I mean, he changed his name when he's working for Fish and Game.
Look at guys, you're idiots. I'm sorry.
I don't like being called that name.
Well, I'm sorry. You sound like an idiot, and you're all three of you idiots, all right? Some guy changes his name to Walt Cronkite. Then he goes to work for Fish and Game. Why? Why did he go to work for Fish and Game?
Because he likes to fish.
Okay, so he likes to fish. Now, why did he leave Fish and Game?
He got a better job offer on the CBS News.
Gets a better job offer at the CBS News. And how lucky for CBS, because his name happens to be Walt Cronkite. That's what he changed his name to while he was working for Fish and Game.
Yeah, and?
Yeah.
get it.
Oh, look at the baby.
Yeah, better go get a bottle of milk and everything, Mr. Henry.
Oh, be quiet. We'll be right back. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. Forget I even brought it up, okay? We got more news about Romney and the election and the campaign and the whole thing coming up on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. I should never have said fishing game. Never.
Phil Henry.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. We're happy to be with you. We're online at philhenryshow.com from the El Pacifico, which is where we broadcast from each and every night. And if you watch us on Phil TV in HD, you can do that. You just get your backstage pass. We're on TV right now, and behind me is the splashing, roiling surf of the El Pacifico. Very, very beautiful out there. That's the jetty. That's our jetty out near the entrance to the harbor. And just beyond the jetty, if you're looking at Phil TV, you'll see where my finger is. You will see where there is a buoy, B-U-O-Y, bud, not...
Yeah, I thought you said boy one time. It's like a boy floats out there or something.
Oh, that's very amusing. Isn't that cute?
Yeah. I didn't mean I'm dumb.
Yeah.
Okay, but in any event... On that buoy out there, you can oftentimes see the sea lions and the seals cavorting. And,
what does that mean, cavort?
Cavorting, playing, you know. And, you know, it's a very charming aspect to El Pacifico life here. We have a big sea lion population, an enormous sea lion population up and down the West Coast. But particularly here in California, and people, scumbags, and I don't want to mention any names because, frankly, I don't know the names. But there are some people who, under the cover of night, because they know that if they did it in the daytime, someone would take their rifle away from them and bend it around their face, under the cover of night, will go out with their rifles and shoot our beautiful sea lions. And they do this, a lot of them, they do this, because they say, I'm a fisherman and the sea lions is doing a... Yeah, uh-huh. Bull crap. And so that's where that is. But I mean, it just really...
I don't believe that. People are out shooting those animals?
Some people at night. Up in the Central California coast, it's happened. And it also happened in Oregon. And Oregon has a different sea lion. California sea lion extends down to Mexico. And the habitat, I should say, of the California sea lion extends down to Mexico. Now, north of the California border, up in the northwest, we have what are called stellar sea lions. These are very big, much bigger sea lions than the California sea lions. They've got a kind of a growling voice as opposed to that classic sea lion bark that everybody knows. Those animals are endangered. The California sea lion is not. But those animals, just goes to show you the sadism of some people, even though they are endangered, those animals are also the object of this kind of thing. So,
but a lot of people up there protect them and stuff.
There are people, there's lots and lots of people that are on the lookout for these guys with guns. There's no question, and there's lots and lots of people who are, you know, really have taken time out of their own lives to protect those animals and make sure that they're not the target of that kind of thing, but it just sucks, man, you know.
Yeah, the sea lions, you only got to shoot them, man. Even if I was a fisherman, I wouldn't like that they'd eat everything, but still.
Well, we have a North American Mammal Protection Act, you know, which protects these creatures, and I don't know. There's a legal number of sea lions that are allowed to be killed every year. You can find out what that number is, including up on the Washington and Oregon coasts, and here in California. So they do try to thin the population, as they say. But that is done according to state law and federal law, and it is done with the aid of fish and game. There's your fish and game there, bud.
Think the guy, Walt Cronkite?
Oh, by the way, that reminds me. I just got the word on Walt Cronkite.
Was he shooting a sea lion, probably?
No, he wasn't shooting sea lions. But anyway, that's done through the offices of Fish and Game, and it is done within a legally prescribed manner, so they don't need some yahoo getting out of his pickup truck, wandering down onto the cliff and going, I think I'm going to kill me a sea lion today. Well, guess what, pal? Somebody might take a shot at you.
Phil, that is very irresponsible.
I didn't. What did I say? There's a lot of people pissed off at those people. There's a lot of really angry people who don't like these sea lions getting shot by these clowns. I ain't saying anything that people don't already know.
Yeah, well, it's a irresponsible man saying the guy took a shot at.
Hey, I'm just saying. If you're the kind of person that goes out shooting sea lions, there are a lot of really angry people out there, and I'm just telling you what I read on freaking online, you know.
Well, you read it online, so that shows you right there that they're crazy. Anything you read online has been written by sociopathic, antisocial, Asperger syndrome, marginally autistic weird asses. Thank you.
Yay! Don't go yay. All right. On the line with us is Clara Bingham from Joyful Union Middle School in Bellflower, California. We're going to take a little bit of a break from... By the way, Clara, can I ask you to hold on for a moment?
Yes, sir. I'm very happy to do that, but we do have a little bit of a time crunch here because we're on our way to a birthday party tonight.
You and Reverend Rennick? Pastor Rennick?
Yes.
Okay. I apologize. And I just want to let people know, Walt Cronkite, and thanks to Dan Northcraft, Walt Cronkite is the grandson of Walter Cronkite. That is a real guy.
So he did not change his name?
No, he actually uses the name Walt Cronkite so as to not confuse anybody, you know.
Oh, because I notice now you're all, you know, like you're good buddies with him.
I'm not good buddies. I'm just trying. We got it cleared up. Anyway.
I heard the entire Walt Cronkite. I thought it was very interesting. And thank you for clearing that up because I, too, wanted to know whether there was someone using the name Walt. You know, and William, his brother's name is Walter.
Pastor Rennick?
Yes, his brother's name is Walter. And I said to him, did you call your brother Walt? Because I was listening to what you were saying. And he said, we used to call him Walt. We call him Walter. I said, did you ever have fun and call him Walter Cronkite? And he said, all the time. Is that right, William? Yeah, we did that. Hey, Bill, how are you?
Pastor Rennick, how are you?
I'm good. I wanted Clara. Thank you, honey. My brother's name was Walt, and we had called him Walter. You know, he's prison Walter. My mother and father call him Walt. But a lot of times that we are having fun with him, we'd say, here come Walter Cronkite. What's the news, Walter Cronkite, you know?
How did he react to that?
Oh, he irritate him a little bit, but sometimes he'd be... Because my brother was a guy, always knew what was going on. Always knew what was going on. You could ask my brother, say, what happened at school today? What was that thing that happened at school today? Or we'd say to him, why, you know... why are those people moving at the end of the street? Or why is that car all of a sudden painted red? He always knew everything about the neighborhood, and he always knew everything about the school. And that's when I said, well, you named Walter, you know, Walter Rennick. You named Walter Cronkite, and we got a kick out of that, you know.
So you nicknamed him Walter Cronkite because he had all the information, huh?
Always had the information, yeah. But I know Claire wants to talk to you about the school. I want to just say one thing, Phil, if I could, about what you're going to discuss.
All right, well, let me bring people up to speed here. There is an effort made, being made by some schools to videotape children throwing food away at school. The reason for this is to see what kinds of foods the kids are throwing away. So if the kids have lunch at school, they want a video or they somehow record, have a record of what it is they're throwing away so as to get a better idea of the eating habits of kids. Now, Clara and Joyful Union, I know, because there was an article about this in the LA Times, William, they're now looking into the kids' lunch bags. Is that it?
Yeah. The thinking being is that if you look at a child's lunch bag and you look and see what is in a child's lunch, you know pretty much how this child is being fed. And you know whether this child is bringing to school things that is nutritious, things that is good for their health, as opposed to eating, whether it's high sugar content or it's too much starch, this kind of thing.
So what are you doing at Joyful Union then?
We're looking into the children, ask the children to open a bag. If they have a bag lunch, they bring from home. If they have a lunchbox, they bring from home. Now, if the child is availing his or herself of the lunch we have at school, that's easy enough for us to take a look at. But it's the lunch that the child brings from home that we want to get a better look at. Here, let me give you. Thank you. So I think William put it very well. We want to see what these children are bringing from the home, because so many children are bringing food from home that are obviously not nutritious. And this takes a step further. The program that you were reading about that I think has been inaugurated in some school, I don't know how many, where they are videotaping or recording or, as you said, Phil, making a public record of what the children is throwing away.
Right. So they can see what the kids don't want to eat.
Yeah. This is something I think is a little bit more to the point. We look at what the child is eating, what's in the child's lunch. We make a record of that. The child either then takes what's left of that lunch and has that for lunch, or we can give them a voucher for something else to eat at the school.
What are you doing with when you look into the lunch?
Well, William is telling me here. We don't want to answer. It's not that I don't want to tell you. I would rather not have her answer that because I don't know if Clara knows the ins and outs of the program. I can tell you that what we're doing is we're looking into the bag, and if we see food in there that the child, we feel, should not be eating. And I understand that this could run afoul of what some parents want, but...
Yeah, it could, because some parents pack those lunches specifically for those kids.
Well, if the child has some health consideration, we'll know that, but if the child has food in there they should not be eating, we'll take that what that food is, and we won't throw it away. We might offer it to the faculty or to myself or one of the other counselors.
So you take food out of the kids' bag. Now, you're taking food from the kids' lunch bag. What is this voucher?
Yeah, we give the child a voucher that they can use when and if we are able to accommodate them. It's a difficult thing because we don't have enough food to go around. We do count on kids to bring food from home, and we don't have enough lunches to go around. But we can't have the child eating what is not healthy. So we'll give them a voucher for a prescribed amount of food once we have enough food in the cafeteria.
Once you have enough food in the cafeteria. So now what happens to that child if there isn't enough food in the cafeteria? You've taken their lunch away from them. What are they going to eat?
Well, we're not taking anything away from them that's going to keep them. We're taking away sugar. We're taking away starch. We're taking away a cool box. What do you call that? I'm sorry. What do you call that box? A cool box?
Like a cranberry box.
Yeah, they got a cranberry box. Have you seen the box of liquid?
Yeah, that's like the juices?
Yes, sir, juices. But we'll take away some of that, some of the sugary drink. So what we're taking away is not going to hurt the child. It can only help because they're not going to have to process that food.
Well, what if the only thing the kid brought to school was this kind of garbage?
Well, then I think you've taught that parent a very valuable lesson. Look what we did. We had to take everything away from this child. They had nothing to eat. By the time they got home, I'm sure they're very hungry. And the next time you pack this kid a lunch, you remember this day, you know.
Remember this day.
I can tell you right now, you must be getting some phone calls from parents that are livid, you know.
Actually, Phil, we've had most of the parents understand. Once we explain the program to them, they understand. And they're very grateful. Some of them are very angry, but once you sit them down and calm them down and you tell them, now, you're not going to get anywhere that way. I'm not going to get no... Well, let's talk about this. You put that in that kid's lunch bag. I didn't put it in there. You put it in there. You know, and when you put that in there, you knew that I was going to reach in and take that out.
Did they know that you were going to reach in, take it out, and eat it yourself?
I didn't. No. I didn't say that I'm going to eat it, Phil.
You said that you would pass that food around to the faculty.
Yes, I did. You're right. But I'm not. It's not like I'm going through the lunches every day and looking for. I tell you the one thing that I do like is that Rice Krispie treat. I have to tell you, if I see the Rice Krispie treat, you know that's not good for a child to eat.
Yeah, I think William ate the Rice Krispie treat.
I have taken a Rice Krispie treat, but that's the only thing that I would say I take out of a child's lunch and eat myself. The rest of it will go to faculty, or we will throw it into the garbage.
All right, Pastor William Rennick here, and so is Clara. We haven't talked to her in a long time on the world famous Phil Hendry Show as they monitor the lunches of kids that are coming to Joyful Union and are now removing from the kids' lunches anything that they deem injurious or harmful. And the interesting thing about that is that we also have schools across the country that are now trying to record or videotape what it is kids are throwing away, what it is kids are not eating, to better inform them, the school members, you know, the faculty administration of the school, what kids are eating. 877-876-7445. The world famous Phil Hendry Show will be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Famous Phil Hendry Show. On the line is, we have with us Pastor William Rennick and his wife Clara Bingham. We're going to get back to them in just a moment, but we just saw on CNN, Margaret, you saw it.
Yes, the United Nations has condemned Syria shelling a Turkish village, and Syria has authorized military action. And I think that this is a sad day. When you consider that the anti-war movement in our country was not able to stop the Iraq war until too late. And now, what do we have? Now we have Syria being attacked by Turkey.
Excuse me.
What?
Can I just do the news and we can get the opinion later?
Can you just do the news and we can get the opinion? All right.
Yeah, I just want to give people the story here. The story, there was, Syria had shelled a village, killing five civilians. Syria reassured the United Nations that that incident would never occur again. This, according to the Turkish deputy prime minister, who I guess heard this assurance. However, what just moved on CNN here moments ago is the story that says Turkey has authorized military action against Syria. Now, let me just go over to CNN, because CBS News is worthless as ever since Walt Cronkite retired, you know.
Well, Phil, don't make a joke, because what we've got going on here is the possibility of World War III.
Oh, would you stop?
No, I won't stop.
Get out of here. I'm not going to have you talking like that. All right. So what we've got going on is, as I said, there has been an announcement here that Turkey has decided to authorize military action. The Security Council has condemned the Syrian attack. The UN Security Council condemned Syria's shelling of a border town in Turkey and appealed for restraint from both countries. What was just on CNN on CNN on television, on CNN's cable news, is that there has been an announcement from Turkey or otherwise some information that's moved from Turkey that they're authorizing military action.
What does that mean? Is it going to be a war?
Look, you see, you got him upset.
Bud, I'm sorry to upset you, but we have to be prepared for World War III.
Would you stop that?
Yes, he just said World War III.
You don't know what World War III, man. Come on. Stop it.
Don't tell me to stop it. I am anti-war, Phil. You know that.
I'm not going to have you playing it fast and loose and trivial with this information. You understand? It's not going to happen. All we know is what we know. And the fact is that that's what they said, and that's how and that's where that's at.
Oh, that's great. All we know is what we know, and that's where it's at, and that's how it's... Jeez.
I'm sorry, but, you know, Clara Bingham with us. Clara, sorry to... have to break away.
I totally understand, and certainly I have to agree with Margaret, at least from this standpoint, that our world does not need more conflict. Our world needs less conflict. And I think for you to come on panicked and screaming, almost as Pastor Rennick would say, like a woman, I don't think we need that, Phil.
And when did I come on screaming like a woman?
Thank you very much, Clara. That's what I've been trying to say to him.
I just don't think it's right.
Wait a minute. When did I come on screaming like a woman? I just came on and I said what I said.
Well, you came on. Syria has announced in Turkey.
Yes, Phil, and you were all very shrill. And one could well imagine, if people are listening, what you imagined, yes, it did happen. Phil was squirting sweat from the bald head. I'm sorry, Phil, but something has to be said.
I think, Phil...
I'm watching Phil TV right now, and the sweat was just pouring down your face.
Oh, bull crap, sweat pouring down. What is going on here? Is Pastor Rennick there?
No, Pastor Rennick is not here, but Pastor Rennick's here. I'm talking still, William. I'll let you have the phone when I'm done.
All it takes is a war for these...
There is no war. I'm saying, Phil, and you know I love and respect you, but I think you have to stop being so panicky about things. And
well, I'm sorry if I came across panicky.
Yeah, well, it scared me and everything.
You see, you got Bud upset.
Yeah, the young man was upset.
Bud, I'm sorry. If I upset you, I'm sorry.
I don't know who did it. Yeah, but talk about World War III.
There's not going to be any World War III. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. How dare you even bring that up?
Let me get William. Come on, William.
Listen, well, this William Rennick, I'm sorry, I got to agree. Look, I heard you come on and go, you didn't do that. Now, you didn't do that.
No, I didn't do that.
No, you didn't. But I heard you say, and it sounded like this, Phil, now we got information, Syria, and I heard kind of a Syria. I heard a little bit, and what happens is when a voice does that, Phil.
My voice didn't do that.
Yeah, I'm afraid it did. When the voice does that, it sends a message.
All right, hold on for a minute. We have to break. We'll be back. We'll talk more about not just about what's happening in the Middle East, but how I've been reporting it. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Be right back.
Phil Hendry.
Thanks for the warning.
Shores El Pacifico. Phil Hendry.
And welcome back to the world famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-7445, online at philhendryshow.com. Clara Bingham is on the line with me with Pastor William Rennick. And Clara, just a question people ask often. Your last name is Bingham because?
Yeah, well, I've kept my maiden name for professional reasons. I'm in business as the administrator to our school, obviously, as professionally as an educator. I have written a number of books. We've written textbooks for middle school and elementary school, and it's just a professional. It's a professional consideration given the fact that before I married William, I was known in the education field by my maiden name. But it is not certainly had nothing to do with me not being very, very proud of being his wife. Thank you. You're welcome.
All right. Well, that's and thank you for letting us know. A lot of women are doing that now.
I don't know of a lot of women. I do know that there are some that.
There are women that are keeping their maiden names.
A lot of women feel like it. If I could say.
Go ahead.
A lot of women are hyphenate, and that's a part. I'm not a big proponent of that. I don't believe in that. I think it sounds effete. I think it sounds European. It does not sound American to me.
Which is that?
That's like a lot of your friend. My wife Clara has friend. She has a friend of hers. Her name is I think it's Sarah Dunham Fleischman or something. Was that her name?
Yeah, that's Sarah Fleischman.
Yeah, she uses though her hyphenated name, doesn't she?
She uses that name, yes. Yeah.
I like what you do. You call yourself Clara Bingham.
Sometimes I call myself Clara Bingham Rennick when you and I are appearing and we're going to a function.
I think that sounds effete. I think it sounds European. I don't think it sounds American. I think you either have your name.
Well, my name is Bingham.
You know. No, I know that. But I tell you this, what would it sound like if I took my name, I said my name is Pastor William Rennick Bingham. I would sound, I don't even want to know if people start talking about me behind my back, you know. My last name is my wife's name. They think I'm some kind of, one of these guys that likes to dress up. I don't know. That's ridiculous.
I want to ask you a question, Pastor Rennick, by the way. We were just talking in the last hour, and welcome back to the show, folks. And did I mention that we're online at philhendryshow.com? Yes. Okay. You said that the way I reported this information, I was screeching.
Well, Phil, I think it needs to be said. Can I just say this?
No, but you said that I was screeching and I sounded hysterical.
I think you did say that one.
Yeah, but let me just say something. You understand that the news you're reporting is 13 hours old. 13 hours old. Now, that news has been reported.
I didn't know that. I didn't know that.
Well, I think that's something that I'm saying this as, and this is not anything that I should know. I'm a Christian, a minister. You know, my beat, if you want to call it that, my news beat, is the souls and the lives really of my congregation. I'm very, very happy to have good people like Phil Henry and everybody I listen to on the radio or watch on TV tell me what the news is. But if you come on like a lady, and I'm not saying you're a lady, Phil, but you come on like a lady. You know, you come on like a lady, what they say, the little lady with a mouse, you know?
I don't think that's fair, you know?
I'm not trying to be fair, but...
Well, what do you mean I came on like a lady? You know, I had this news...
Well, you like this, you know, Margaret Gray...
Pastor Rennick, I understand what you're saying. I said to Phil that he was screeching and he was turning it into World War III. And
Wait, hold the phone. You're the one that said World War III, we're on the doorstep.
No, I didn't. I said you're making it sound like it's World War III.
Yeah, I think that's what you did, Phil.
Wait a second. You're the guy that started bawling, and you're the one that said she's scaring me. You said you're afraid it's World War III.
Well, Phil, regardless of who said what, what I'm trying to say is, when you come on and you made an announcement about the Security Council and Turkey, and you said, and now I know you didn't sound like that.
No, I know I didn't sound like that, so why are you doing that?
Because that's the effect it had. It sounded to me, I'm just telling you what it sounded like, okay? Now, please understand, I'm not saying that you passed, but you sounded like a lady that if you ever seen a cartoon, you know, with a lady and there's a mouse, you ever seen that, Phil?
Have I ever seen what?
Have you ever seen the cartoon where the lady, and she a lot of times she'll get up on a table and go, you know, there's a mouse.
Yeah, like a mouse, still like a lady seeing a mouse.
Yeah, yeah, I've seen that.
Well, that's what you were doing. You were coming out and going,
It's pretty funny.
Hey.
Now, come on, don't let your pride get in the way, Phil. Don't let your pride get in the way. Now, you know, I've talked to you about this, haven't I?
Pastor Rennick,
haven't I talked to you about your pride getting away? And there's an old saying, a pride come before the fall. You know that, right?
Yes, I do.
All right. I want you to just get off your high horse and just recognize that when you come on and you talk about Turkey and Syria and it's going to be a war and all this, you were reporting news that 13 hours old. Oh, everybody know about this. Security Council already did what they're going to do. Turkey's already shelling Syria. I mean, always firing artillery on church, and there you come on going, and there's going to be a war. Now,
see, that right there is, you're making me sound...
No, I'm not saying you sound like that. I'm just saying that it has the effect of that.
That's right, Dale. I think William sometimes is over the top. What he's saying, this is what you sounded like. You started going,
help.
So you guys are saying I sounded like that lady with the mouse.
No. No, not at all.
Yes, you are. That's exactly what you're saying.
No, we're not. I wish you would listen to what we're saying. I'm not saying you sounded effeminate.
That's exactly what Clara just made me sound like. She said that I was going,
No, Phil, I was saying that is the effect that some people are hearing. There's the way you're doing it, and there's the way that people hear it. Okay?
Yeah. For instance, Phil, here's the way people are hearing it. They're hearing this. The way you're saying it is this. Oh, yeah, Daddy. See? Now.
No, I don't see. Now you got me sounding like some,
Sound like what? Don't be homophobic. Now.
You know what? I'm going to take a break. I don't like where this is going. I don't think it's very respectful.
Phil, what did we do wrong?
Well, you're telling me that I... Oh, no, Phil. You didn't sound effeminate. However, this is the way it's being received. Okay.
Yeah.
And then you're saying, well, in fact, I'm not doing that.
No, you're not doing that.
No, instead, what I'm doing is, oh, daddy. What is that about?
Well, Phil, I think only man that would know that world would be able to understand that.
That's a good point. I can't argue with that.
Okay. Oh.
You just hung up on Pastor Rennick, Phil. You can't do that.
I'll call him back, okay? Just tell him that we lost the line.
You want me to lie to the pastor?
Yes. I want you to lie to the pastor, okay?
Phil, you can't lie to a Christian pastor. He'll know. They're close to God. And they can... It's almost like they read minds. I mean, I don't know a lot about it. But...
Yeah, I mean, I worry about that too, Phil.
About what? If you can read my mind?
No, but he had a hotline to God, and God will say he just hung up on you.
Oh, I apologize, folks. It's 13-hour-old news, so I just find out here from Pastor Rennick, and the Syrian, whatever the hell, the Security Council has acted. They've condemned it. Turkey is shelling Syria as we speak. Apparently, they opened up with artillery today or sometime earlier today. So they got it under control, whoever they are. Somebody's got something under control.
One thing for sure, you don't.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, you don't.
Okay, I don't. I'm sorry. I thought I had freshly breaking news, like freshly baked bread. You know, that's what I get for trusting CNN.
Yeah, go ahead and blame them.
That's exactly what I'm doing. We'll be right back with more on Ms. Bingham and Joyful Union and the kids' lunches when we come back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
You up here? This is what you said like this. You said like this. I'm only kidding.
You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and here with Margaret Gray and Bud Dickman and everybody, and a reminder that we are online at philhendryshow.com. We have our Phil TV in HD. We also have all of the downloadable hours, thousands of hours of audio there. We also have available downloads of the Milwaukee Lions regular season games in the Phil Hendry Hillbilly Football Conference. Jack Igagder and Brett Morrison calling all the action. And the Lions against Miami just went up as a download. Well, actually went up on Tuesday as a download. And I think the final scores are in, as are the standings. Now, as it turns out, this is the number one download on our website now, the Milwaukee Lions. It even surpasses the podcasts that we've been doing that have been available on our iTunes.
You're kidding.
No. So dig this, man. The Milwaukee Lion podcast and our regular podcast, which we haven't updated in quite some time, but we were like, you know, floating around 70, 60 most downloaded comedy podcasts. And then I just got too overworked and we stopped doing them. But the Milwaukee Lion podcast, which is a subscriber-only podcast, has surpassed the numbers that we were doing for the free one on iTunes. So I said today to Alex, I said, is this driving subscriptions? He said, I don't know. He said, could be, which is pretty heavy. Do you understand what's going on here?
No.
Neither do I.
No, don't say, what do you mean? What's going on?
Well, I mean, it's a whole new genre of comedy. If you want to get right down to it, I'm not saying there's anything revolutionary about it, but it's Jack Igagder and Brett Morrison cursing up a blue streak, throwing people through the window of the press box, getting into fist fights with the producer and calling a football game, all happening in the press box. And there are moments of high hysteria and sheer, side-splitting, gut-splitting humor. And then the commercials are weird, starting with Dr. Kibble's Detox Center, moving on to Bozo's Pep Pills, and then...
There's another one I like. Oh, yeah, Barney's Roses.
Barney's Roses. There's another one. Barney's Roses. And this is a flower company... This is a florist who is not trying to impress you with how beautiful the flowers are. Is not trying to impress you with how impressed she'll be. He's basically challenging the men out there to get to know how to buy flowers because you know how to do everything else. So it's almost like listening to some kind of... It's like the guy selling guns.
I heard that Barney's Roses. I found that very offensive.
Well, you would. You're a woman. But that's... You see, this is the beautiful thing about Barney's Roses, and it kind of goes to a bigger issue. Florists, and what are we, do we have a holiday coming up? No, we don't. We have Halloween.
Yeah, Halloween, don't people give flowers then? Well, probably not.
Yeah, a goblin give flower to a goblin girl.
A goblin gives flower, what did you say?
I said a goblin give a flower to a goblin girl.
Goblin would give a flower to a goblin girl.
Well, what does that mean? That's weird.
Yeah, let's just say, guys, that Halloween is not what we would call a flower-giving holiday. Is that okay? Is that all right with you?
What about Thanksgiving?
I don't know. Maybe on Thanksgiving, some guys give. I can see giving flowers to your mother and your grandmother on Thanksgiving.
What about your dad?
I don't see giving flowers to my dad on Thanksgiving. I think Thanksgiving is more of a day. I mean, it's a day for the entire family. It's a day for our wonderful country and our families. But if I was going to give anybody flowers on Thanksgiving, it would be the author of the meal, as they say.
What's that mean?
The person who's making the meal. So that would be your mother.
My dad made a turkey, and my uncle made a turkey.
All right, well then give flowers to your dad. I know your father's dead.
Yeah, I can't do that, Mr. Henry.
All right, give flowers to your uncle then. I'm just trying to say, you knuckleheads, you don't give flowers out on Thanksgiving.
What about Christmas?
Oh.
Do you understand? So here's the thing. Now I forgot what I... Yeah, here's the thing. Flowers and the giving of flowers on Valentine's Day, which is a huge flower-giving day. On Mother's Day, which is a huge flower-giving day. On anniversaries, huge flower giving. Who is generally giving the flowers? It's the man. And what do these florists do to appeal to the men?
You know, she'll just love you with the this and the that.
The commercials, in my opinion, come off rather soft. Like they say in football, you know, they play a soft zone. They don't hit. These commercials don't hit. You're not really appealing to men. The Barney's Roses commercials, I think, are good because they're challenged. They're basically saying to men the following thing. Get in there and get some flowers and quit screwing around with pajamas and all this stuff. Get some flour, you know. And they're also saying to guys, we're not going to tell you how to score women and we're not going to tell you how to treat a woman. You know how to treat a woman. You already know how to treat women. You know that they like diamonds. You know that they like bubble bath. We're not going to insult your intelligence. Oh, here's some nice pajamas, and she'll just love you. You guys know what women like. The one thing you clowns don't know anything about is how to buy flowers, and that's why we're here.
So you think that a woman is going to like that?
Women aren't supposed to hear that.
Yes, you know, Phil's saying women don't hear it.
I can hear what he's saying. You're saying that women... So...
I'm saying, Margaret, that women are not the objects of flower commercials. Men are. And you don't talk to men about buying flowers for a woman by basically telling the guy, boy, you sure are a moron. You don't know anything about chicks, do you? Yeah, whoa, there, sunshine. I know enough about women to, you know, what's the song say? You know, I know a little about love and baby, I can guess the rest. All right, take it easy, bud.
That's right, man.
I find it very disrespectful.
All right, come on. So what guys need is advice on, okay, what are the flowers? Now, you talk to a guy the way you talk to a guy. Hey, you, Charlie, yeah? You want to buy some flowers or do you want to stand there looking stupid? Come on in here and we'll show you how to get the flowers. You don't talk to him like, oh, and you know what else you'll like? A teddy bear and this and that and this and that. I mean, I'm sure that there's all kinds of marvelous things that women... But if I'm selling flowers, and I'm not selling teddy bears, and I'm not selling pajamas, and I'm not selling candy grams, and I'm not selling... I'm selling flowers, then that's the way I would approach my customers.
So you're basically talking to these guys like they're members of a football team, and you're the coach.
Yes, yes. As a matter of fact, yes. You talk to a man like you're the head coach, he's on the team. Guys, here's what you're going to do. You're going to go in there, you're going to get some roses. Well, I don't know how we call it. I'm going to tell you what kind of roses you get. And you say you get the kind, maybe she likes the peach color, maybe she likes the this and that. You get them when they're a bud so that they open up and they become a nice flower. You go in, get a dozen of these roses. I'll tell you where to go. I'll tell you how to buy them. Put them in the vase. Boom! You just did your job. You don't go telling the guy all this other jazz.
I think what you just said there is absolutely brilliant. And I can't wait to hear the new florist commercials you're going to have on your show.
Yeah, well, don't hold your breath. Okay?
Why?
I don't know. I'm just telling you that's how I would pitch flowers. That's why Barney's Roses is one of the big sponsors there on the Milwaukee Lions football games.
Now, where is Barney's Roses located?
In Milwaukee. It doesn't even exist. You know, it's a...
It's a make-believe football team.
What?
Margaret.
Don't you know what we're talking about?
No, I don't know what you're talking about. What are you saying?
It's a made-up football team. It doesn't exist. We make it up.
Well, who's this Jack I. Gagner?
The guy that we made up.
And Barney's Roses.
We made it up.
Well, Milwaukee exists, right?
Yes, Milwaukee exists. It is a fantasy. It is a bit of entertainment. It is a piece of theater. It's a piece of imagining. You know, it's stylized. It's a movie for the ears. It's a movie for the head. It's just, it's a podcast. It's one of the podcasts that we offer on our website at philhenryshow.com. So anyway, check out the check out the Milwaukee Lion.
Three Bozo's Pet Pills was a real place. I get a handful of that, man.
Yeah, a lot of times get a handful of Bozo.
Get a handful of Bozo, huh?
Oh, my God, that's vile.
No, wait. I would love it if Bozo's Pep Pills existed, because there are nights, man, when I could really use some Bozo's Pep Pills. But if I heard the commercial correctly, you have to take a Bozo Pep Pill along with 10 cups of coffee.
Yeah.
Don't you get it? That's what's giving you the pep, not the Bozo's Pep Pills. All right, coming back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. When we do return, the U.S. has rejected an Iranian plan to end the standoff over the nuclear program. At least that's what they were saying. I think we're all done with Pastor Rennick and Clara.
Yeah, we didn't really give them a chance to talk.
Well, that's the way it is sometimes, man. And we've got other news for you. So stick around, guys. Always weird. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. And by the way, here's a picture of Al-Assad, the prime minister of Syria. And that guy needs to do some work on his head.
What's wrong with it?
It looks like it's smaller than I think it's smaller than a guy's head should be for those shoulders. I don't know, there's something wrong with him. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show. Our number 877-876-7445. And online at philhenryshow.com. We're on the air.
I don't think that Barney's roses...
They're not real. Do you understand? There's no such place as Barney's roses.
Oh! I thought there was.
You thought there was. You're an idiot. You know that? I've been talking about them being fake. You know that we're on the air. Turn the mics off, will you, bud?
Sorry.
Of all the...
I want to get out of here, Phil, when you come back, okay?
You got it.
I think your mics are still on.
The mics are on, bud.
I just turn them off.
Thanks.
No, they're still on. Henry.
Turn them off, bud. About it. 877-876-7445 is the world-famous Phil Henry Show. David G. Hall on the line with us, our Vice President of Syndication. And you have a couple of things I know you want to say about some of my pre-show comments, correct?
Well, yeah, I do, Phil. I think, your audience, the people that were watching your pre-show heard you saying, once again, some extremely explosive and insightful things that would... I got to tell you, I better you than me, the fact that you're referencing, and by the way, congratulations to Jerry Doyle.
Congratulations, Jerry. Jerry's moved into Michael Savage's slot there. That's the afternoon drive slot. And Jerry's a hell of a nice guy, good guy, and he deserves all the good things that come his way.
Yeah, but you say, I just heard what you said. Is he going to get Michael Savage's money?
Yeah. What's wrong with that?
Why do you want to start that?
What's wrong with that?
What's wrong with what?
What's wrong with me asking if Jerry's going to get paid Michael Savage money? What's wrong with that?
Because you're starting something. Because you're now going to, if he hears that and he gets that bug in his ear, he's going to, next thing you know, he's going to be knocking on the door asking, hey, yeah, where's my money, you know?
Well, I'm sure they've given him a pop, you know.
Yeah, I would expect they have.
I mean, you know, Jerry, if you're listening, I'm sure they've given you a sizable raise, haven't they? I mean, they should. Yeah, they must. You know.
I don't know. I don't know that it's any of your business.
Wait a second here, pal. Where do you get this any of my business stuff? You know, this is what I find to be fascinating. We can talk about anything we want, and I love how they've been selling here. Oh, yeah, man, talk radio. This is where people really hammer it. But, you know, I'm talking about something that's right. This is where people live. We're talking money. Aren't we talking money? Isn't this what's going on with the economy now? Money, huh? People are, you know, are we going to make some money? Are we not making money? Are people making enough money? Are people employed, you know?
Yeah, I mean, people, you know, look, you don't have to hit it that hard, Phil. I understand what you're saying. Okay, but there is certain political considerations.
All I said was, Hey, Jerry, congratulations. You deserve it. You're a hell of a nice guy. And you are a, and this cat has, you know, Jerry Doyle's an interesting guy. He used to be a actor. He was on Babylon 5, among other things. A very, you know, accomplished man. Now he's a broadcaster, and he's scratched, and he's clawed, and he's fought his way to the top. And I'm just wondering, are they going to start making with some of that Michael Savage bread, you know?
What kind of bread do you think Savage was getting?
I don't know. I don't know what kind of bread he was getting, but I bet you he was making a nice piece of change. Okay? And,
Well, I mean, maybe.
No, not maybe. Not maybe. So I'm just asking. I hope that, you know, Jerry Doyle's being taken care of.
Yeah, but see, when you say that, what if they're not taking care of him? And
well, if they're not taking care of him, I bet you somehow they've promised him some. If they're not paying him now, I bet you they've got something worked out with him where he'll get paid. But I don't think that's right. I mean, I...
Yeah, right there. See, that opinion there, we don't need.
Well, I'm giving that opinion.
You're saying that they ought to pay him up front.
Yes. Yes. Pay him up front. Look, if this guy, Jerry Doyle, is the number six most syndicated guy in America, which is, I believe, what the press release said, and they're now moving him into the afternoon drive slot that Michael Savage had, and I believe I read the quote correctly when they said, you're going from number six to number three, so they're basically saying, you are now number three, why not pay him the money that would warrant?
Well, how much do you think that was?
I'm telling you right now, I don't know, but I'll bet you it was a lot of bread.
And the thing of it is, Phil, if they're not, for whatever reason, and Jerry Doyle hears you yakking away on the radio about how, you know, you think he ought to be getting this amount of money, and maybe he isn't, then he starts being unhappy. Then he starts knocking on the door, and the next thing you know, you've created a whole crap storm for no reason.
I'm not looking to do that.
Oh, bull crap. You know full well you are. And
no, I'm not looking to do that at all. I'm simply asking questions. I think it's a very fair question to ask in these economic times. Jerry Doyle, moving from the number six most, that's what the thing said. And now he's number three, and I would think that he's entitled to that money. If they're not paying him that kind of money, then there's something wrong with that press release that I saw. Then they ought to be paying him that money. Or maybe they ought to reword the, I don't think they should reword the press release.
You think Jerry Doyle's worth that kind of money?
Yes, I do. Absolutely, I do. If that's what they're telling me, and Jerry... You know, and I agree with all those statements, that he's worked his ass off, that he deserves it, that he is in a very prime slot, afternoon drive, that he is taking over a show from a guy that's, you know, a bona fide smash hit, Michael Savage, and God knows the bread that he was making was probably very good money. I would say that Jerry deserves that kind of money, and, you know, I'm very confident that they're paying him.
Yeah, that's another way of saying, you know, hey, Jerry, if you're not getting the money...
Well, you know, David, if you want to stir up the crap...
No, you're the guy that's stirring up the crap, which reminds me, because Pastor Rennick brought it up, I'd like to also bring it up at this time. The news report that Turkey invaded...
Yeah, we've already been through that, okay?
No, it's 13 hours old. That's just what I wanted to say.
All right, thank you for sticking that in and turning it, man, because I already know.
All right, yeah, you know, I just want to say it again. Hey, everybody, Phil Hendry was talking about something that happened. Well, guess what? It was 13...
Thank you.
Yeah, how come people always speed up? How do they know that you're going to hang up on them?
Yeah, I always wondered that myself.
I don't know, but they do. David always does. He always knows that I'm going to somehow, some way, in some manner, that I'm going to hang up on him. All right, some football results from tonight. Number one, the University of Southern California defeated Utah, but it wasn't the smash hit drubbing that a lot of people hoped for. Because as you know, in college football, the way things are done is you can't just beat a team. You have to destroy them. You have to annihilate them. You have to humiliate them. You have to gut them, geld them, hang them from the highest yardarm, and then drag them, keelhaul them, and everything else. Otherwise, you ain't worth the, what is it, number 13 ranking that you've got.
Yeah, I wonder why they all do that.
Because this is all that computer jazz that they got. You know, why don't you let these kids grow up and be men, all right? Let them be men, and basically it's this. You win, you're great. You lose, you suck. Don't reward a losing team because, oh, well, at least they didn't kick our ass by 30. Because I'm looking at some of my friends tonight, and they're saying, oh, well, this SC win, that really sucked. I go, why? Because they didn't cover the spread. Who gives a damn? Unless you're living on your gambling money, and some people are, and I understand that. Special hello to my friends in Long Beach, by the way.
That's who your friends are gambling and everything?
That's none of your business. Now then, All-American wide receiver Robert Woods was face down on the giant red U in the middle of the field Thursday night, dazed by a wicked shot. The scene was indicative of the Trojans as a whole after blunders left the number 13... After blunders left the number 13 Southern California down two touchdowns early and Utah smelling upset. Woods righted himself and so did the rest of the USC offense with quarterback Matt Barkley showing why he was a favorite to win the Heisman Trophy before the season started. Barkley led the Trojans to 28 straight points, passing for 303 yards and three touchdowns in a 38-28 victory. Wow.
Man, I'm coming from behind, man.
I'll tell you, you know, and because I had read a tweet from one of my friends who said, quote, something along the lines of, my heart is breaking, and the hashtag USC, and I'm like, what the hell happened, man? I didn't know they were down 28 points.
Why don't you watch no football no more?
Because it's boring.
Seriously?
I love football. I love it. But it is boring me now. You know, I'm like bored to hell with, I don't know, man. Maybe it's age or something. I got to see something happen. I want to see death. I want to see destruction. I want to see a new kind of a game where people can actually lose their lives. What do you think about that?
They got one.
What's it called?
World War III.
Great.
Yay. Well, while you guys are getting your jollies about this, I think that it was a wonderful comeback, but I will tell you this much. Because I happen to be a member of Cardinal and Gold. Okay, Phil, Cardinal and Gold?
Yeah, Cardinal and Gold.
Yeah, what's that mean?
I said Cardinal and Gold, Frank and I are... Boy, you don't get it, do you?
I know what Cardinal and Gold is. Ladies and gentlemen, those of you listening in parts of the country where you are not USC fans, and I don't blame you, this is a USC... Cardinal and Gold is a special... You can pay. It's a way to support the university, and oh yeah, by the way, you get really good seats.
Yeah, tell people I'm dapping you and thing you did.
What?
Why don't you get them to speak English?
Bud, what did you just say?
You ought to tell people what happened to you.
Yeah, tell people what you did.
Oh, well, my son went to USC. My stepson, Nick. And so we were excited. He was excited. He went to the business school there and graduated. He's a great kid and is now, you know, he's now slugging it out in the business world. But anyway, make a long story short, as soon as he became a member of the student body there, I said, you know, it'd be fun to go and take in the football now. You know, we actually have a vested interest. And my wife said, yeah, that's great. Let's do it. I said, but, you know, I don't want to get some crap can season seats. I want to get good 50-yard line stuff, you know. I want to find out if we can do that. I don't know if we can do that. Well, like an idiot, I call up, and I'm not saying USC did anything. I called them up, the press, whatever the hell it is, the ticket thing, right? And they go, yes, sir. I said, hi, we want to get some season tickets for the coming season. Yes, sir. And I said, to be honest with you, you know, we'd like the 50-yard line seats. You got it. How about 50-yard line about we got some three-quarters of the way up? I said, right on the 50, huh? Well, about 45. I said, hell yeah. I said, do you have them on the USC side, which would be the press box side? He said, no, sir, they're on the opposite side, behind the visiting bench, but still 50-yard line. I said, I'll take them. I said, and how many? I'd like four, you know, because we would always, I always want to get season tickets. I'd like to get four so you can bring some friends with you and so on and so forth. And I'm thinking, well, you know.
What would I perceive?
I don't know, man. Let's say they're $50 a seat, you know, times whatever, how many games the SC plays, six home games. You know, it's 50 is three times, so six times three. So it's 18, 2,000, maybe 2,500. It ain't cheap, but it's within, you know. And never did it ever occur to me that I was getting, on first time at bat, calling up the ticket office.
You've got 50-yard line seats.
50-yard line seats. Oh, and on top of that, they said, oh, and by the way, sir, where would you like to sit for the Notre Dame game? You know, because the Notre Dame, they were playing Notre Dame at home that year. I said, what do you mean? He says, well, we always give the option for the Notre Dame game to our first time season ticket people. You can be up on the press box for the Notre Dame game. I said, wow. Yeah, well, we have food and you can sit down and talk to other parents. And I said, yeah, sure. We'll, okay. Then we'll put you in down for that, sir. So I'm thinking that maybe it was my good looks.
Yeah, you probably thought on account they knew who you was or something like that.
Yeah, no, seriously, I thought maybe they know Phil Hendry, the name or something. I don't know what. Until I got the bill.
Yeah, I knew it, man.
Well, of course, you joined Cardinal and Gold.
I had no idea.
No, yes, you did. You didn't know what it meant.
Yeah, you're, no, Margaret's right. She's right.
You know I'm right.
Yeah, no. He said, sir, would you like the Cardinal and Gold package? Something like that. I said, yeah. I had no idea that the Cardinal and Gold package meant that I was kicking in an extra $7,000 or something like that.
God, you're kidding me.
No. So, no, it wasn't an extra $7,000. I don't know what it was. It was like an extra $5,000. So the whole thing wound up cash costing me $8,000 for, you know.
Well, was it worth it? I love Cardinal and Gold.
I got to be honest with you. Yes, it was, because the seats we had were fantastic. We had four seats, and you stepped, and I was right near the beer stand, man. There was the tunnel. There was the beer. There was the restroom. And we saw some great games. It was during the Matt Leinhardt era and the Reggie Bush era. So we saw Reggie Bush his junior and senior years, and that was exciting. And I think SC won the national championship one of those years. Pete Carroll was still a head coach. We had high hopes. It was a lot of fun. Little did we know.
Yeah, that USC was cheating its ass off.
Oh, my, well, such language, Margaret.
Yeah, you dirty word.
Oh, come on. USC was cheating its ass off.
Yes, they were. USC was violating mothers and daughters. They were doing a lot of violation there, man. So there's the story of that. Always remember when they say to you, would you like to join the, you know, and I'm sure most everybody listening to me understands that, except for me. You know. We'll be right back. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We got also a pro game that got played tonight. It was the Rams and the Cardinals, and we'll tell you about that one. The Cardinals came into that game with a big-ass winning streak on the line. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. So you guys got that figured out, huh?
Well, yes, I have it figured out, but I don't, again, you really, Phil, this is you not listening.
No, I understand it's me not listening. I understand. So you and Frank have Cardinal and Gold, so you go to all the games?
Well, Frank goes, you know, and he goes with some people, but we are Cardinal and Gold. I don't think you have to... I'd rather you not ask me any more questions about it, because I don't know anything about it. I just like to tell people we're Cardinal and Gold. I'm sure you understand. Phil, we're on the air right now.
Okay, I mean, that sounds like, in other words, you want to give the impression that you're hot stuff.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
Well, good. I don't care what it sounds like. I don't want to talk about it.
All right. So we won't talk about it. By the way, speaking of Los Angeles football, and I'm not saying this, guys, to be hyper-focused on Los Angeles. What I am talking about, though, now is the possibility of teams moving, a shuffling of existing franchises, because, yes, there was this past period of time. I'm not exactly sure when it happened. Maybe it was last week or a couple of weeks ago. There's now a football stadium that's going to be built in the city of Los Angeles with private money, and it's called Farmers Field. It's going to be built downtown. Now, why am I bringing this up on a national radio show? Because there are names of teams that are being floated as teams that will be moved here to Los Angeles to put a team in that Farmers Field.
What's that mean, Farmer Field?
It's a, what does that mean? Yeah, Farmer Field?
It's Farmers Insurance.
Oh.
Is that like the sponsor?
Yeah, Farmers Insurance has bought the naming rights. What, did you think it was?
Yeah, they were on a farm.
Well, they built stadiums on it, but I don't think it's likely there'd be a tractor out there.
No.
Well, Phil, it's not that far-fetched.
Well, what do you think they're doing? They're going out and playing football on a farmer's field? That's the name of it. That's the name of the sponsor. Now then, what's going on in the National Football League? Because this ballpark is going to be built, and I got news for you. There's going to be a team that's going to be moved into it sooner rather than later. Will it be an existing franchise, or will it be an expansion franchise? The money says, or some of the smarter money, I don't even want to say it's the smart money, but it's some of the smarter money says it's going to be an existing franchise, because an expansion team means that the owners, already a group of guys that are seeing some of their weaker members having problems, you know, filling the stadiums. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers have a problem down there. They're not drawing the fans they used to. A couple of other ballparks and a couple of other ball clubs are talking about. The Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah, but what about those old Florida teams? I thought they loved football down there.
Yeah, they like football in Florida.
Well, but you know what? Florida's a college. It's still a place that loves its Miami Hurricane, Florida Seminole. They love their pro game. They love their Dolphins. The Dolphins are always going to be preeminent as a pro franchise. But the Bucks and the Jaguars are kind of weird, you know. The Dolphins have some. They've got a Super Bowl pedigree.
What's that mean, pedigree?
It's like a dog.
What, a dog?
It's like, never mind. The other team, get a load of this, that they're thinking could very well move to Los Angeles and be a tenant there at Farmers Field. You ready for this one? The Rams.
They're out in St. Louis.
They're in St. Louis, but the story is, this is another storyline that some people who are quote unquote in the know, the storyline is they don't dig it there. They're not making the kind of, you know, money, and their deal is running out. I mean, it's not going to, the Rams would not move to L.A. if they moved to L.A. It couldn't be for a few years because they're locked in pretty solid on their stadium deal. So that's the thing. And they don't want an expansion team because they would have to divide the money up that much more.
Well, Phil, the money that they get, though, is unbelievable. How could they be so selfish as to say, well, oh, we're going to have to divide up, you know?
I don't know. I mean, look, it's very possible, depending upon the kind of money that, you know, filling the stadium is not the story. It's whether that TV money continues, you know, and the next deal that they sign for television rights, will it be as lucrative as the last one? I mean, that's where it's at. And they divide that money equally. I don't know. I mean, you know, it just... But it looks to me like the smart move is to move a team that exists, an existing franchise, and that can be, as I said, it can be Tampa Bay, it can be Jacksonville, and the other team, the San Diego Chargers.
Yeah, that'd be bitching. Yeah, Chargers, get big drive down there.
I'm going to tell you something right now. There would be that would be sickening to football fans in San Diego. San Diego Chargers are beloved in San Diego, man. That was the only thing they had for years. Was the Chargers. You imagine moving the Chargers from San Diego, which is not exactly the most L.A.-friendly town. I mean, their nickname for L.A. is Smell-A, you know.
Yeah, well, there are a bunch of rubes down there.
Well, maybe, but the fact is, you know, you move the Chargers to L.A., that would be the ultimate, that would be like the Brooklyn Dodgers moving to L.A., you know.
Well, I don't care. If they call us Smell-A down there, then they can rot in their own, I just hope they sit in their own filth.
Yeah, okay. So,
Well, why do you say, yeah, okay?
Well, that's a little strong. All right, so there's the latest on football, folks, as we understand it. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Gosh. I hope they're sealed in a pit of their own filth.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Bill Hendry.
Oops, I'm sorry, I'm here. I dropped some things here. Welcome back here, final hour of the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, a news talk and information, a news talk and entertainment show. Information, it ain't going to happen. Entertainment, I think we can do. Information, we're reliant on the same sources of information that you are, and so that's all I can tell you there. I don't have any inside scoop, you know.
Well, don't you think that people are don't you think people look to you, though, for a source of information they don't have?
If they are, they're making a big mistake. Okay, folks. Anyway, welcome back to our program. We're online at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. And look at this. The phone calls ceased, and that's because we've got people trained. People do not call in the last hour because they know we just we're not liable to take any calls anyway, but we're not going to take any for sure in the last hour. And we have people so trained, the talk radio callers so trained, that they just don't even bother to call, and the lines were fully open, and they could have.
But we would have answered it, too.
And we would have answered, yeah. All right,
Why don't you take calls in the last hour?
We just don't want to be bothered. I mean, I respect people too much to throw out a phone number and have them sit there on hold while we continue to yap. Well, I respect some people that much. Other people we just like to mess with. All right, so getting back to the business at hand, which is the very important business of the presidential thing and who you're going to vote for and why. The debate last night, and now I should say two nights ago, because this is now officially Friday morning, and thank the Lord on high for that one. The debate two nights ago has been was and has been resoundingly proclaimed as a victory for Mitt Romney. And I just saw, I was watching our good friends over there at Red Eye saying, quoting one of the news programs is saying that President Obama has prepared more for this debate than any other sitting president, whatever that means, you know.
Well, what do you mean, whatever that means?
How do they know he's prepared more for this than any other sitting president? I don't understand. Are they, what does that mean, you know?
Well, I don't know. Maybe they just know.
Well, perhaps they're I don't know.
Yeah, thank you. So you guys agree with me. How do they know they don't know? They're guessing. Anyway, in his first public appearance after what was widely viewed as a lackluster debate performance against his Republican challenger, President Obama was cheered Thursday by thousands of supporters, telling them at a rally that he was shocked to meet a guy who was playing Mitt Romney on stage. When I got onto the stage, I met this very spirited fellow who claimed to be Mitt Romney. The real Mitt Romney has been running around the country for the last year promising $5 trillion in tax cuts to favor the wealthy, but on Wednesday, Romney said, "I don't know anything about that." The real Mitt Romney said, "We don't need any more teachers in our classrooms," but last night, he can't get enough of them. Anyway, Obama launched a far more spirited attack on Romney at Thursday's rally than during the debate, repeatedly characterizing Romney's performance as that of a candidate trying to morph his political profile and step away from his positions on taxes and education. These are all things he should have said during the debate. Margaret Gray, why didn't he?
Well, Phil, I think the reason why, and thank you very much for that, for throwing it to me like that. That's
You're going to throw it to me?
Yeah, I'll throw it to you, man. But Margaret, go ahead.
I think, Phil, what happened was the following thing. First of all, President Obama was not very well served by his advisors. He was expecting to be able to launch into Romney on the 47% thing. And there were some other statements that Romney had made during the campaign that left him vulnerable, that left him open to attack. And I think the president was waiting for that opportunity. And Romney, in a very cagey and I think a very smart move, did not go there. See? Did not go there. So the president did not want to appear as if he was trying to exploit by way of mudslinging. And he simply avoided going there. So Romney did not give the president the opening that he needed to launch the kind of attack that I think would have been more successful.
And so, and that would have been going after him on some of these misstatements like 47%, et cetera.
I think so, yes.
All right, Bud?
Yeah, well, if you look at it, at the way, you know, that everything went, I think that President Obama probably needed to have more information than he had.
Come on, man. Wait, let him say what he wants to say.
Well, this is embarrassing.
Well, I'm going to say what I want to say. You said you want to say, didn't you?
What?
I said you said you want to say.
Just say it, bud.
President Obama is going to be, he's going to get his ass kicked. That's what I think, well, the bottom line on that.
Yeah, you know, get his ass kicked. You know, maybe,
look, okay, here's what I'm going to do. Let's have a debate.
Oh, no, not these two idiots. You're kidding.
No, I'm not kidding. I want the two of them to debate. All right, who's in favor of Romney here?
Me.
And you, Robert, you're...
Yeah, he's Obama. I mean, well...
Yeah, I'm he was going to say I'm in favor of Obama because I'm black.
No, he wasn't. All right, you two guys debate it. And
why don't you want some people that have... Why not let me debate on behalf of Obama?
Because I want these two guys, Robert and Bud, to do it. They're two working everymen. All right? They're not necessarily writers. They're not necessarily members of the media. They're just a couple of guys, okay? I'll let you open up, Robert, your belief in President Obama, your support for him, and then, Bud, why you want to vote for Obama. I mean, for Romney.
Yeah, I want to vote for Romney.
Right. Go ahead, Robert.
Okay. And that, mine's for Obama?
Yeah, isn't that who you're going to vote for?
Yeah, I am. I'm just waiting to find out. Is it,
Yes, Obama. Do you want to talk about Romney?
No, I'm saying, you want me to say about Obama?
Yeah.
Okay. My name's Robert Leonard, and I think Obama has already proved that he's a great president. He's already been in the White House, and he already has proven that he can be a president. He has dealt with Bin Laden. He has dealt with an economy that Bush made a mess out of.
Gabe, everybody says that.
Shut up, man. I'm not done yet.
You got to be quiet, bud.
That's stupid.
Shut up, man. I'm not done yet,
bud.
And I think President Obama, if you want to talk about somebody that has experience, President Obama, they said he did not have any experience. Now he does. And I think he's done a good job considering the mess that he walked into when he came president. All of a sudden, he got elected president. Next thing you know, the whole world going to hell because of the economy.
All right. Bud?
Well, first of all, my opponent in the debate here, Robert Leonard, lied. He's a liar. And
Hey, wait. You're not... No, I don't want that kind of... I want you to tell me why you support Romney.
Yeah, well, I am going to tell you why I support Romney. I got to tell you why he's a liar first.
No, you do not, man. No, you do not.
But don't you have enough to say about Romney? Go talk about me.
You just...
Don't just talk about Romney.
Okay. My name's Bud Dickman, and okay. I believe President Romney, or not President Romney, but Mitt Romney, because I've always felt...
Would you tell him to get his finger out of his nose, please?
What?
Get your fingers out of your nose, bud.
Oh, sorry. I believe that that Mitt Romney... What?
Would you ask him to quit scratching his...
Don't scratch your crotch, bud. You're sitting here in front of a lady.
Yeah, but it's radio.
Yes, but when on the radio, when you had your finger up your nose, we could hear it.
What?
When you were talking, you were going like, like that.
Oh.
Just leave yourself alone and go.
Okay, yeah. Mitt Romney. I believe that Mitt Romney is going to be... Is probably going to be the best candidate to be president because I think he's had experience in business. He's had experience in running... like businesses, and another thing is he ran the Olympics too. And I'm sorry,
man. You gotta keep your fingers out of your nose, man.
I thought you're not supposed to talk.
Just don't worry. Just go.
But anyway, and I'm sorry.
He's scratching the crack of.
Bud, will you just keep your hands from?
Well, that's what I think. And I think, and another thing is he ran the Olympics, he ran a business, and he's smarter than Obama is.
Okay, there's our debate between Robert and Bud, and we'll be back to see what Margaret thinks about that when we come back.
Wait a minute, are you telling me I'm going to comment on that? I heard that halfway through he's like that. The other half, he's got his finger wedged way up there, Phil. I mean, you didn't see that.
No, I did not. He stopped. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch.
Way up there.
The Phil Henry Show.
No, I didn't.
But yes, you did. You had your finger way, way.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. So, Margaret?
Well, I just heard the debate between Robert and Bud. I thought that it was asinine. I thought that it was very cruel of you to put these two imbeciles...
Don't say that!
Hold on.
To put these two imbeciles on display like that. I just don't think that it really spoke well of your control of this show. And I don't think it did much for the candidates.
All right. So you think the two guys that are talking about something from the heart, the way they understand that, is wrong?
No, I didn't say that, Phil.
Yeah, you did.
No, I did. Would you excuse me? No, I did not. I said that I didn't think it... I don't think it spoke well.
Yeah, no, see, you walked into the trap.
Oh, I walked into the trap, did I?
Yes, you did. You did. You showed yourself to be effete and to be someone who believes that only people like yourself are qualified to debate these things, not regular people.
I never said any such thing. You're the one that put these two idiots on this. Well, I...
Yes, you're close, idiots. You already gave away, like, the what you think of us.
You barely speak the English language. What do you expect me to say?
Yeah, but I mean, Phil's saying the same thing we're trying to say. We have a right to talk our opinion.
You have a right to talk your opinion. You don't have a right to be a blithering idiot. I don't see it.
Blithering idiot in your mind.
Yeah, there you go. I didn't say idiot.
Margaret, you nitpicking me stumbling over a word isn't going to get you off the hook here. You believe that the only people entitled to debate anything are people who have credentials, people who have some sort of media credential, people who have some kind of, some credential of public standing, where it's just a couple of regular guys who may not sound the way you think they ought to sound. They don't have the right to debate these things. And even when we went to the break, Dan Northcraft, our engineer, came on. He said, you know what, I love it when those two guys debate.
He did not.
Yes, he did. He did. And that basically means that you're boring. So,
Well, I'll take that up with Dan. I don't think that he said that. I think you're lying. I think you're lying through the...
Do you have to go to the bathroom?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I do. I have to go number one.
Get the alarm.
Here's the alarm. Margaret's going number one.
How dare you...
All right, in other news, ladies and gentlemen, so let that be a lesson. You know, here's the thing. Dan and I had this discussion, and I think it's an interesting point of view that we discussed, and it was the following thing. Why do we think it's important? What?
I want to say something. Yes, I went to the toilet, and yes, I'm going number one. Do you want to play your alarm?
Yeah.
I hope you die from a stroke.
What a hateful thing to say.
Well, you brought it on.
I'm at that age now where I guess I could die from a stroke. I never thought of it that way.
You're not going to die, are you?
No, I'm not, bud. Take it easy. All right, here's my point.
And you're just going back to business as usual, huh? I just said I hope you die of a stroke.
Will you get out of here and go number one or whatever you got to do?
Let me push it.
It's fun.
Don't do it. You'll get pissed. All right. Is it really important? Why is it important? Why is it important that a man perform well in a debate in order for him to be among the many things that would qualify a man to be or a woman to be president? Why is it important for those individuals to perform well in a debate? Now, some people will say, well, that tells me how well they know the topic. I would argue that no, it doesn't. I would argue that it is an unfair test of a person's knowledge of a subject. I would rather that someone have a deep knowledge of a topic and that they have a comprehensive knowledge of a topic that they can draw upon but not necessarily fire it back at me in record time, counted down by the seconds, because the gun's to their head. I'm going to ask you this. When has a president ever in the history of this country been faced with a decision that was one that had to be made with the pressure of a gun to the head that a debate presents? I mean, I'm asking you. When? When has there ever been a moment in the history of this country that a president had to say, oh my God, I got to figure out the thing. What am I supposed to do? And if I don't get the right answer, I'm going to look like an ass and I will look... You know.
Well, I mean, like, what about Pearl Harbor and stuff?
What about Pearl Harbor? What about it?
Then President Roosevelt had to make a decision.
Yeah, but he didn't have to do it in 5 seconds, man, with a gun to his head and with everybody staring at him. And come on. The bombs dropped. The thing blew up. He's like, that sucks. Let me talk to the Secretary of State. Let me talk to the Secretary of the Navy. Let me find out what the hell happened. And where are these Japanese that are here? They are. What the hell are you guys think you're trying to pull? You were here to talk peace, weren't you? Well, yes, Mr. President. Well, get the hell out of here. Now, you guys split. He didn't go before Congress that day. He didn't go and ask Congress for a declaration of war on that very Sunday. What about 9/11? Let's talk about 9/11. Okay?
Yeah, well, the President Bush had a day, flew him around. He wasn't going to land or nothing.
Yeah, I'd make a decision there.
What decision? That's a decision that's not even in the hands of the president. That was a decision. Well, it wasn't in the hands of the president, but they said to him, look, you know, you have to stay out of Washington until we know what the hell's going on. Now, that is a military protocol that they advised the president of, and he concurred. Obviously, he has every right to do whatever the hell he wants to do. He's the president. But they said to him, you know, we don't think you should fly to D.C. until we know what's up. He said, okay, that sounds good. Let's do that. All right. Now, what else did he have to do?
What about with the gun of scrambled jets and stuff?
Those are the military guys, man. I'm talking about the president of the United States. The military guys, you know, if you want guys that need to answer questions in a five-second time frame and have to be on their money, I say you get some military guys. Put them into debates. Okay, here's the thing. Planes hit the thing. There's a plane. It's out of control. We don't know where it is. It just went ghost on us. There's people on board. Do you shoot it down or do you not? Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. That's, I mean, I'm telling you right now, that's the life of a soldier. That's the life of a soldier. Come on, come on, come on. We got to make a decision. How to make a decision. There's bullets flying around. That's not what a president is up against. So these debates have provided, and I'll tell you something right now. I've never, ever, ever, ever changed my mind about an individual candidate based on a debate. Never. I've never been impressed with anybody overly through a debate. I've been impressed at times with a person's demeanor. And I've been impressed at times with, well, you know, he seems to understand, and he's cool under pressure. Those kinds of things I can see and I can like. I don't know whether, I know for a fact I've never gone and said, wow, I'm going to vote for him based on his performance in the debate. I change my mind about people based on what they say.
Yeah, but the guy gives a speech. He's all thinking about it and knows how to say it good and everything.
Yeah, how do you know he's not just trying to impress you?
How do I know he's just, well, wait, you know, I mean, look. They're all trying to impress us. They're always trying to impress us, whether they're in a debate or whether they're giving a speech. They're always trying to put their best foot forward. I want to hear what the guy thinks, okay? And I can't hear what he thinks when he's got some jackass asking him questions from a moderator thing, and he's got a bunch of clowns. Frankly, these questions from the audience and these YouTube questions, I could do without it. I could care less. I just don't care. I don't give a damn what the average person's question is. I know that that's not popular, and I know they're going to keep doing it because it gives the illusion that the average citizen somehow is asking really important stuff. And no, they're not, you know.
Well, what do you mean? I mean, you know.
Here, I want to get in on this because I just. By the way, you don't have seat covers.
Where, in the bathroom?
No.
All right, we'll get seat covers. Margaret says we don't have seat covers, folks.
And I whispered that for a reason, but you get your kicks. You really get your kicks, don't you, thinking about women sitting on filthy seats? God, are you weird.
Yeah, that's how I get my laughs. Yeah, you're right.
I wanted to comment on this. You just said that the average person's question during a debate, no one cares. Is that what you said?
Yes, that's exactly what I said.
Where do you get that idea that the average person's question isn't important?
I get that idea, to be honest with you, from the condescending way that a lot of these questions are answered by the candidates. And I'm not saying condescending in the sense that they don't like the person asking it or they... I am saying condescending, though, from this standpoint. It is an opportunity most of the time for these candidates to look good because they're, oh, yeah, thank you very much, Susie Brown. That's such a, wow, great question. And in their minds, they're thinking, yeah, well, okay. That's another softball. I can handle that in my sleep, you know. All right, we'll be coming right back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with more of this chit-chat about the debate, more on turkey, more on Halloween, more on Thanksgiving turkey, just more. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
You can do a Halloween show.
Yeah, we'll do a Halloween show, sure.
Phil Hendry. This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Here's what we were referring to earlier. You might, Margaret, I think you've got some interest in this, obviously. In an effort to monitor the effects of the new federal lunch policy changes, Lake County, Florida schools Lake County school leaders in Florida have proposed using surveys or installing trash cams, cameras mounted on cafeteria garbage bins to determine what portion of students' lunches are destined for the dumpster.
Oh, that's real smart.
Yeah, I can imagine the kids, these cameras must be protected or something, right?
Well, Phil, I don't. If they ever actually do that, Florida and Florida public schools, I cannot think of a public school system that is more broke, or to put it more succinctly, more on its ass, as my husband Frank says, than
Yeah, your husband Frank Wise says he's on his ass and he's talking about a lady.
Oh, that was brilliant. Yay.
Well,
okay, bud. So the Florida schools are on their ass.
The Florida schools have no money for this asinine experiment at putting cameras to find out what the children are throwing away. I've never in my life heard more ridiculous ideas floated. I don't even think it warrants a news story. I think it's a bright idea that some teacher had in the hopes that it might warrant some sort of news coverage. It did. Good for you. Thank you very much. Now go back into the teacher's lounge and smoke another camel. God. Well, I just get tired of it.
All right. Well, I mean, I can see your point. This does seem like a lot of hot air and claptrap because, you know...
What's claptrap?
Bullcrap, in other words.
Yeah, it's an English way of saying bullcrap. Oh.
In an effort to monitor the effects of the new federal lunch policy changes, Lake County school leaders in Florida have proposed using surveys or installing trash cams, cameras mounted on cafeteria garbage bins, to determine what portion of students' lunches are destined for the dumpster. According to the Orlando Sentinel, Lake County schools were the only ones in Central Florida last year to phase in the new rules a year before they're required. What? Officials estimated that students tossed $75,000 worth of produce in the garbage. Tossed $75,000 worth of produce in the garbage over what period of time? Prompting school board members to call for stricter trash monitoring to determine what specifically about the new policy is working and what isn't. This is lunch school reform? Is that what this is?
Yeah, they probably like the kids, a lot of the slop that they serve, you know. I went to public schools. I know you did too, bud.
Yeah.
And they're nothing but slop. I'd eat the slop in a public school. Man, I'd rather die. I'd rather die of starvation than eat that slop. So what they're trying to do now is monitor the slop that a kid eat.
They should call it the public slop policy, in my opinion.
Very funny.
No, I'm serious. Bud and I talk about. They call it a couple of, like you call it the hot slop program. You know
what? Excuse me. If you mind, what is the hot slop program?
Yeah, they got a hot lunch program, right?
Yeah,
they call it hot slop, and like they'll say, and we have now for the students the hot breakfast program. They get a warm breakfast. They call it get a warm slop. Come on down, send your kid for warm slop.
Warm slop, hot slop. So in other words, basically you're insulting the food that the kids are served.
Yeah, I'm insulting the food. And the other thing, too, is they're talking about what are they throwing away. How about the whole damn thing, man?
Yeah, they're not eating the lunch. They're not eating the whole damn thing.
Yeah, that's good. That's from True Romance.
Yeah, they took that from True Romance.
I am offended that you would take a line like that. That line in True Romance has to do with,
Yeah, eating the lunch.
Shut up. God.
You know, you are sitting... Well, never mind.
Don't worry about it, Margaret. Quit being indignant over so many things, all right? It's just we're gonna live longer. All right, according to the Orlando Sentinel, Lake County schools were the only ones in Central Florida last year to phase in the new rules a year before they were required. Officials estimate $75,000 worth of produce is thrown into the garbage. All right. I mean, I'm not happy about that, but kids throw food away. And should we teach kids to watch the portions that they allot themselves? Yes. Should we teach kids to make sure they clean their plates? I suppose. I think the better thing would be make sure the kids are getting the right amount of food in the first place, you know.
Well, why? I don't understand.
Well, look, I don't think telling a kid to clean his plate is necessarily the right thing. If he's not hungry and he doesn't want to eat, then why force the kid to eat the stuff that's on the plate? Better that the kid learns to give himself the right portion, you know.
Yeah, but what if you want to have... That's not fair.
Why is that not fair?
If you're going out of line and they have mashed potatoes or whatever, and then they also have cakes and puddings, you're probably going to load up, you know.
Yeah, you do a load up on a cake and pudding, too.
What do you mean load up?
You're going to load up.
Well, I understand what they're saying. The kids love to have the cakes and puddings. They love the cookies and these kinds of things. And so the load-up that Bud is talking about is natural for a child.
Well, it may be natural for a child, Margaret, but you have to teach these kids, listen, if you want some dessert, here's the dessert, and you also have to have this other stuff.
What if the kid's hungry?
Look, if the kid's hungry, then we teach the kid the best way to not be hungry is to make sure you're getting the right kind of food. It's not healthy for a kid to satisfy his appetite by eating cake or pie.
Yeah, but you're going to load up on a pie.
Yeah, just only natural.
I don't care what's natural. You guys keep going back to this load up on pie thing.
Phil, it's a natural thing for a child to load up. Now,
you guys are, you're talking a language I don't understand. What do you mean it's a natural thing for a child to load up?
If the child is going down the line to have something to eat.
Yes.
And there's pie, don't you think that, what is the child going to load up on, broccoli or pie?
I guess pie.
No, both.
Yeah.
Both, okay. Now I'm lost. All right, so suppose the kid loads up on pie and broccoli.
Yes. You teach the child to clean that plate, even if you have to raise the plate to your face and lick it clean. Now, that's what I've taught my son.
Yeah, it's probably the best way to do it.
Yeah.
To lick it clean. I just want to be clear, okay?
What's so funny about that? I really want to know. What is funny about that?
Are you telling me that a kid goes down the line, he loads up, as you guys have been calling it, on broccoli and pie, okay?
Yes, and mashed potatoes and sweet potato pie, this sort of thing.
Is there anything like meat?
Well, what do you mean by meat?
Yeah, probably surprise meat.
Well, what is surprise? What does that mean, surprise meat?
Yeah, well, you don't know what a surprise meat is.
I was a cafeteria mother, and I know there were times that we had to have surprise meat. So, yes, the answer, technically, yes.
What is surprise meat?
I don't think it's anything that you want the answer to. I don't think it's anything that anyone really wants the answer to. I think we've moved past that, what surprise meat is.
Do they still have surprise meat?
I hope not. I pray not.
Yeah, I pray every night that they not do.
Yeah. What is wrong with you? Boy, you're looking at me. Well, look at that.
Yeah, you look like the stumbling mutter.
I don't know what you guys are talking about with surprise meat.
Man, that's a staple of cafeteria food.
I'm saying, Phil, if the child goes down the line and he selects for himself surprise meat broccoli, surprise meat pie,
What is surprise meat pie? You got to tell me what surprise meat is. I can't go any further until I know what surprise meat is.
It's a surprise.
Is it meat?
We think so.
Oh, we think so. Are you guys kidding or something?
No, Phil, I swear to God, it's the way it's been in public school. That's why I say the hot slop program.
I've been in schools. I was a student in a school. I ate in a cafeteria. I don't ever remember getting surprise meat.
They didn't call it that then.
Good God, I don't even... You're right, I don't want to know now.
Yes. So can I finish?
Go ahead.
Once the child has selected the meats, the surprise meat, and whatever protein, and the pie, and surprise pie, as well...
Can I ask a question now?
Well, what do you want now?
What is surprise pie?
Wouldn't you like to know?
Yeah, wouldn't you like to know?
Wouldn't I like to know?
Well, you said it. So anyway, God, you are really weird, you know that?
No, you guys are weird with this stuff with surprise pie.
Everyone knows surprise pie. Nobody wants to talk about it.
So the child goes down. We're talking about the health of our children, are we not?
Yes.
All right. The child goes down the cafeteria line. The child gets the broccolis. The child gets the very select different mashed potatoes or whatever they have. Surprise pie. And then, of course, there is surprise dip. If that's if they get the French fries. You get your surprise dip, and then there's a special surprise, which the cafeteria lady usually gives you later. Now,
all right, I won't ask you any more questions, but I don't want to talk about this anymore.
Why not?
Because I'm sick and tired of hearing about surprise dip, surprise pie, and now the surprise the cafeteria lady gives you later.
And I can tell by the way you're half smiling what a filthy mind you have.
Margaret, what do you think I'm going to think?
Dude, you know what surprise lady the cafeteria lady gives you?
Well, what does she think I'm going to think, man, if she says the surprise that the cafeteria lady gives you later? Can you tell me what it is?
Phil, it's been decades since anyone...
All right, never mind. Never mind.
No, I don't think it's right of you, Mr. Hender, to cut it off like that. There's a lot of very important discussion to be made.
If there's a lot of important discussion to be made about this, Robert, we ain't having it here, man. It's going to have to be someplace else, you know?
Well, you didn't give me a chance.
Margaret, every time I'm giving you the chance, I got more stuff that's scaring me, okay? I got...
That is scary.
Well, that all... It is scary.
You better believe it's scary, and I don't even know what you're talking about. Surprise meat, surprise pie, surprise dip, and the surprise that the cafeteria...
Man, I think it's a sad day you're going to laugh at stuff like that, especially we got the slop program going.
Mr. Henry, you're going to laugh about hot slop.
And you guys with the hot slop program, you're going to have to back way off of that. You're never going to affect change with people if you've got your finger in their face telling them they're serving slop and they're serving surprise meat, you know, and
Well, I'm glad you're having a laugh as children starve. That's great. Thank you.
No, Margaret, I don't want to do that. I'm saying... The children should be taught, and your bull crap here about licking the plate clean.
That's the only way you teach a child not to waste. And I will tell you, I told my son that. I said, Jason J. Delmonico, you took extra helpings of everything. Your eyes are bigger than your stomach. I want that plate clean, and by God, you'll lick it clean if you have to.
Dad, you said to him?
Yes, I did. Don't look at me like you're about ready to call the L.A. police. Don't. No, no. This is not an abusive mother thing. No. No, no. No, you're not going to be that lucky.
Well, Margaret, I think it's a pretty,
Pretty what? I said to my son, and I love my son, by God, you'll lick it clean.
That's what she said.
You filth...
Wait, hey! Ow!
Drag him outside and throw water on him.
We'll be right back. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-PHIL.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
You want some, too?
No. She didn't kick you. I saw what she did. She rolled you outside.
Yeah.
I'll do it again, too.
Why did she do that, bud?
Because all I did, I made a joke.
What did you say, though?
I made a joke.
What did you say, though?
I said that's what she said.
In response to what?
You know what I said, bud.
She was the one who said it.
In response to what?
She said... Well...
I'm not asking you, Robert.
She said that she tells her kid to lick it clean.
Lick the plate clean.
Yeah.
Okay, and then you said...
That's what she said.
Right, so it's a crude and rude and disgusting thing to say, especially on the air, and that's why she almost kicked the hell out of you, and I credit you, Margaret, for not doing it, and just rolled you outside and threw a bucket of water on you.
Yeah, it's humiliating, though, and everything.
Yeah, well, you know, man, maybe I'll watch what you're saying.
Oh, yeah, look at you. No, all of a sudden, you're taking their side.
Okay, look, I don't want to hear any more about it. Watch your language, bud. You got a big fat mouth on you. You're always saying something inappropriate, so just, you know, chill out. All right, now, let's get off of this topic. You know, we're talking about surprise meat. I'm about to throw up.
Well, Phil, why don't you join us in our crusade. Join us in our crusade. We are getting rid of the surprise meat, surprise dip.
Yeah, anything like a surprise, you know... The surprise-a-roni.
Yeah, the surprise-a-roni had...
What is surprise-a-roni?
That's the macaroni that you don't even know. You don't want to know.
Yeah, you don't want to know, man.
Then, can I just ask a question, then we'll move on? Is this being served in our schools, you know?
Every day, Phil. Every day. You remember in Dirty Harry when he said, you really want $300 worth, don't you? And Scorpio looks at him and says, every penny. Remember that?
Yeah, that's all kind of got his face kicked in.
Yes. Well, let me tell you something, Phil. If the day ever comes when you really want your $300 worth, we'll give you every penny.
What's that supposed to mean?
We'll tell you all about a surprise meet.
I've been asking. You don't want to tell me? Okay, fine, you know.
We'll give you your $300. You really want $300 worth, huh?
Every penny. There, are you happy?
All right.
Okay. Now, speaking of food and a little bit better quality food, I just got to give you the Phil diet update. I am at 219 pounds. I am 9 pounds away from my goal. My goal is 210. And today I was talking to Chris and Alex. I said, man, give yourself a break, man. You know, you can have something. You know, you can blow it out one day. I said, no, I'm not going to do it. I haven't done it yet, and I'm not going to do it. I am intent on getting down to 210, and it is that day that I will celebrate. Now, this is actually kind of a blessing in disguise. You know, I thought and I wanted, as I told you guys many times, I wanted to be down to the 210 by my birthday, which was September the 1st. Well, man, we are well past that. Then I said, well, I'm sure I will be down to it by the end of the first week in October. That ain't going to happen. So now what's the new goal? And I got to tell you, I got to believe that I'll make this Halloween.
Now, why Halloween?
Because that is the first of the many great eating holidays that are ahead of us. I don't think I've ever looked forward to a Thanksgiving or Christmas season as much as I'm looking forward to this one, man, because I'm telling you, it's been a long time coming.
Yeah, you don't want to turn into a fat ass again.
I'm not going to turn into a fat ass. Believe me when I tell you. I've learned my lesson. But I am looking forward to enjoying for the first time in, you know, a long time, actual Christmas and Thanksgiving. God, sit down at a Thanksgiving dinner and eat a Thanksgiving dinner and not feel like a fat pig eating it. Same thing with Christmas. And it kicks off with Halloween, which is just a few weeks away.
Yeah, you're going to get a sugar rush and everything.
I don't care. I love it, man. I love it. So that is my new goal, and, you know, I can only hope that...
Are you sure you're going to get the weight off?
Yeah, we're talking 9 pounds. I mean, I've been averaging. My average since I started this has been 11 pounds a month. So, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's just... And that the 11 pounds a month I've been doing, just dieting, not exercising. You know, now I've started to kick in a little more exercise because I want to get it over with, man, you know.
Well, I mean, what? Your pants is falling off you, too, and everything.
Yeah, I noticed that you're holding your pants up.
I know. This is the other thing. These pants I bought before I went to Florida in June, these are 40-inch. Now, these are 40-inch waist pants. These pants, when I bought these at 40 inches, I was thinking, man, this is a momentous occasion because I was wearing like 50, 52, 54-inch waist. So I bought these, and now they're too big.
Now, you have a pair of jeans up there. You said that if you get into those...
Well, you know what? I don't even think I'll ever... They're 34-inch waist jeans, man.
I don't... At 210 pounds, I think you will.
Yeah, but you'll have to get down to a gay weight.
What does that mean, gay weight?
What do you have to look like?
You'll have to look seductive to other men.
Oh, will you get out of here, please?
No, that's what happens.
Phil, in order to get into jeans like that, you'd have to have a very trim you-know-what. And,
why do you guys go there? I have to look seductive to other men. That is about the funkiest thing.
But to talk about having a trim butt.
Yeah, if you have a trim butt...
I'm going to trim you, man. How about that?
Ow!
All right, thank you very much, Margaret, for that, you know...
Oh, quit being embarrassed.
I am. Anyway, thank you very much, folks. Thank you, Margaret, Bud, all you idiots. And I don't mean idiot, literally. For joining us, we will be back again tonight. Don't forget our website, philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com. Don't forget, we're going to be gearing up our podcasts again, our free podcast. The Milwaukee Lions have another game this weekend. I don't think it's a blacked-out game. They're at Portland against the Portland Logs. The Lions have won two straight. Jack Eichagder and Brett Morrison with the play-by-play, so you can go and download that if you're a Backstage Pass member. You can also join us for the live game. We carry all the Milwaukee Lion games live on our Phil TV feed. It is the radio call. There's no video or TV, but it is the radio call from Jack Eichagder and Brett Morrison. Again, this week from, I think, Blitherton Field, Bud?
Yeah, Blitherton Field in Portland.
Blitherton Field, Portland. All right. For all of us here at the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, until tonight at 10, let that be a lesson to you.